Okay, well, today is September 9th, 2019. I'm on the phone about 2:15 in the afternoon with activist Pat Colby, or Pushback Pat, as I've sometimes called you in the past, Pat. And I asked you some questions by email and also by phone about recycling, which you've been doing some studying on some years back when you were a regular attender of the Huff meetings. And you said you were got some new info on that?
Yeah, I called in. I called the number I had in my phone of Cassandra Busey, and her supervisor, the man in charge of it, Lance, called me back. So I spoke with him for a little while, and he said the E-Planet disappeared because it went out of business. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't make enough money on the recycling.
And how extensive was their operation here in Santa Cruz, do you know?
They were mainly the only recycler to go to.
And how many places did they have?
They had the one by Costco. Mm-hmm. So they had one in Santa Cruz. They had at most of the Safeways and Knob Hill and stuff like that, they had ones along the way, like one or two per city.
Hmm. I mean, I know that Felton did have a recycling center, which is now gone. So I don't know if that was...
Yeah, and I don't know if the city recycling center is open, but they don't take stuff. So what's happening, I guess this bill was introduced in 1986, the bottling bill.
Go ahead.
That's what it's based on. And so what they're going to do, they're getting lots of complaints because E-Planet went out of business. So what they have to do is they have to send an affidavit letter to all the places that are now responsible. So we have to push them to do this. And they'll get 90 days to respond to option A or option B. Option A is pay $100 a day. Option B is accept recycling. And they cannot limit it. They're not allowed to say, oh, you can only do three or six.
Now, Pat, what... I'm sorry, go ahead. What is your understanding of what they're doing now at any of these places? Are any places doing recycling just sort of independent businesses on their own?
No.
Because I had heard at the Huff meeting, I believe it was, that there are some places that are, but only very limited amounts.
Right, and they're not allowed to do that.
Right, but there are some that are taking limited amounts now?
Maybe Whole Foods might take three, but that's... 3 to 6, that's about it.
3 to 6 what?
Bottles.
I gotcha.
Recycling.
I gotcha.
And people used to bring in bags.
Mm-hmm.
Have so let me tell you the process they're now doing, okay?
Yeah, go for
First,
it.
First, is that letter, they give them 90 days to respond. And it's going to depend on people filing complaints. So the next time after the 90 days, if they don't take whatever you have, the first... fine. It's called the first violation is $100. Okay.
But they don't pay this. They don't pay this to the recycler who gets screwed. They pay it to the government in theory, right?
Well, the store ends up paying $100.
But not to the recycler.
No, it doesn't go to the recycler.
Not to the person seeking to get their bottles recycled. No.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
But the store gets fined $100 for that violation.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it has the next violations, it's $1,000 for each violation. So say Joe goes in and tries to, no, you can only do three, that's a violation. And then Betty goes in after, that's another violation, so we're talking $2,000.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you ever heard of anyone...
Please call their complaint line.
Have you ever heard of anyone actually successfully getting stores fined in our area?
Not yet, but this is all new that they've set up because of they're going to enforce it. And we have to keep on. In fact, I can give you Lance's number because he said I can call and keep on him, you know,
mm-hmm.
and see what the updates are as to what stores in the area. You're not supposed to go any further than a half a mile to recycle your...
And what is Lance's position?
I think he's the supervisor of the whole recycling.
And that's a city, state, private agency. What is it?
No, it's California State.
California State.
He works for the government there in Sacramento.
I gotcha. And you're okay, well, why don't you, fire off his number.
Okay, it's 916. 416-341-6293.
And give that to me one more time, could you?
916-341-6293.
And again, his full name is?
I don't know what his full name is. He just gave it to me. He doesn't like to be interrupted when he's telling you what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And also, he said, just make sure and call that 1-800, I think it's Cal Recycles or it's Recycles. Whatever that flyer is, if you print out that flyer again and give it to people, they'll be able to complain.
I'm not sure what flyer.
Just listening to people.
I'm not sure what flyer you're talking about, Pat.
Well, I made a recycling flyer, and I made that thing, and I gave it to you.
How long ago was it? How long ago was this?
It was a couple of years ago, but if you have any problems recycling, call 1-800-RECYCLE and file a complaint. Because they're going to be on these stores to do this, because they've been in talks. Because the last time I talked to Lance, he said that he was in talks with Governor Brown about what they were going to do about this.
So. Now, if you talked to Lance before this, like I know when around the time when we were actually... You know, we discussed this issue at some length at Huff. Did you ever file any complaints with him?
Yeah, I talked to him. He explained things. But the complaint line is 1-800-RECYCLE.
And again, on those times when you filed complaints, did you ever get any results?
I didn't hear of any results. I didn't get any follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
Lance said, told me I can call him anytime I want to get updates and follow-up.
Did he tell you that when you called him 3 or 4 years ago as well?
No.
So do you think his tone has changed, or?
Well, no, it was never his tone. It was just they didn't have a clear enforcement, and now they're going to start enforcing. Stores are not going to be able to ignore them. They're going to actually fine them.
Did they claim they were enforcing before?
No, they said there was no mechanism for enforcement.
When did that mechanism get put into place, and how did that happen, do you know?
I don't know how it happened, but obviously it's been put into place.
The reason I'm asking you these...
Now.
You say obviously it's been put into place because of what?
Because ePlanet.
No, I know that, but that doesn't mean anything as far as the government is concerned, as far as I know, other than they're reassuring you. Do you have anything other than their reassurances about, oh, yes,
no,
if you call us?
Because you asked me to get the current information, I've gotten it.
No, you did good. No, I'm not critical of what you're doing. Pat, I'm not critical of what you're doing. I'm trying to be clear that there's a considerable difference between what they tell you and what they do. It doesn't necessarily coincide. So if you find out, because I take it you probably will be one of the people complaining, or you will know somebody who complains. If you find that
not really.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you won't.
I get mine. But what I'm saying is people are going to need to complain and follow up.
Well, we'll see. If you find anybody who actually does that, or if I do, guess then we will learn if 90 days hence, and when the follow-up complaint happens, they actually take the bottles or not.
Right.
That's the issue. And if you get any new information on that, I don't expect you to. You're a busy woman. I realize that.
Focus on other things now.
Right, and you got other fish to fry. In fact, regarding those other fish, anything you want to, put on our plate?
Well, there's been some movement. I'm a bit frustrated because there's a big group that's very interested in they're inquiring about Take Back Santa Cruz and the vigilante violence and the victims. And they're very interested in hearing the victims' stories and going forward on it. And I've tried to talk to people that have documentation a lot, and they're not wanting to do it. But my concern here is people are dying, they're getting hurt. They need protection now. They don't need to wait for some lawsuit through appeals court that probably won't go through, because what we're dealing with is not one or two stalkers or vigilantes. We're dealing with about 1,000 of them.
Now, can you give me an example of this that's happened in the last month?
I've heard people have told me that they've been beaten up with bats.
In the last instant you heard of this, understanding you may wish to preserve the anonymity of the person involved, unless they're willing to be, you know, exposed. Can you describe what you can about this incident as you heard it, if you believe it to be credible?
Well, usually it's like secondhand, but what I have been documenting is which is a crime to post threats of violence against anybody, any group of people, is I've been screen shooting those, and Mills should have arrested. I know that recently that fire captain got fired, and he's not too happy, but instead of realizing he should have kept his mouth shut.
You're talking about the Felton assistant fire chief. Yeah. Familiar with that.
And so instead of keeping his mouth shut, now he's posting threats of violence against the activists, advocates that outed him. So
now, is he being specific about saying, go get Pat and John at such and such an address, or is
which
he?
You're not going to say, but other people are naming us, like Darius. I've got a screenshot of him saying that we're the ones writing the NBD articles, and he's an idiot. We're too busy, and we're not writing the NBD. There's more than just us that do not, like, take that category that they're violent.
I understand. Now, let me ask you this. I'm losing my thread. So I guess what I'm looking for are specifics. You've talked in the past about how the police have largely left you alone for the last year, even though you have been a visible presence sleeping in your vehicle downtown. Is that accurate?
Yeah, well, we moved to Olive.
Well, all right. Sorry, onto the west side, but you
to the west side to Olive, where Alicia is by the CVS. But
they've left you alone, right?
The police. I have to call them to have them drive through to get the troublemakers out of there.
Right. When I say they've left you alone, I'm referring to the police, not the vigilantes.
Yeah, no. I have to call the police to have them come and do drive-throughs to make it safe for the people that are regular sleeping.
Now, what specific threats have you experienced, if you wish to say, in the last, let's say, month? And I don't mean online. I mean in person. People driving by, throwing things, shouting at you, whatever.
They're not allowed to do things like that to us because they've already done so much violence with cheating out our window, kidnapping my cat for 2 months. They've already done that, so they're not allowed to do that. They just do the annoying, like, the last week, the police in the city have set up things that make noise, and the stalkers have made noise so that we didn't, for a week, we couldn't get a decent night's sleep.
And what kind of noise was this?
It's just like they'll send somebody who's talking out loud to themselves, going on, fuck this, fuck that. And they always come right for our car, or they'll have PG&E pull up a generator right across from our car when we went back to Locust, because there's a caravan of about 10 people. Julie knows more about this, but they had come to Olive Street and they were drug dealing and loud talking and bikes coming back and forth. And I had to call the police.
Well, let me look at this again. Let's go at these one by one because I want to kind of examine these. The specific thing about PG&E, are you suggesting that the PG&E organization specifically, or at least the person driving the vehicle, intentionally targeted you? And if so, do you have any evidence of that?
Okay, I'm not saying they did, but the city used them.
And
the one thing I wish I had done that night is got the license plate and turn them in. See, that would have made the guy leave, because he got nervous when I said I was going to videotape him. Because when you have to actually get the plate number and call it in for them to leave. But they did this thing that they used to do when we were at Cruzeiro.
Who is they? Who is they?
The city.
And you
have this big truck with a cargo on it. And the cargo gets lifted and put in the middle of the street, and then the truck turns around and picks up the cargo the other way, just to make noise. It's really loud.
And what is the nature of this cargo and this truck?
I don't know. What does it
look like?
It's just it looks like it's on pallets and it's all sealed up, so there's no one side or anything.
And which, what, how do you know it's a city truck? And what's your reason for saying that?
Because it has a city logo on it.
Okay, and when does this kind of, when does this activity usually happen, or how many times has it happened in the last month near you?
Well, it used to happen every Tuesday when we were by Cruise IO in the library, and then we were forced back downtown last week, and the very first day, it was a Tuesday, that we went back there, and they did that night.
And is this something that you're attributing specifically to targeting you, or is it an annoying thing that they're simply doing because it's maybe part of some other function, but they're not being very considerate?
Well, I think I hate to say, but it's more targeted us because they're very angry at everything all the corruption we've outed. And recently I've been very vocal about all the fraud being done.
So why do you believe, Pat, specifically that the driver is targeting you in terms of, and wait a minute, hold it. Pat, hang on. Why? I mean, do you have any specific indication that as a driver has said anything, or is it simply an inference from the fact that you are a critic and you are outspoken, and you've made a significant impact on regarding your own rights and the rights of others?
Okay, you're asking me to prove something that's unprovable.
No, I'm not asking you to prove anything. I'm asking you why, other than your belief, because you are a critic, you're not letting me finish. Why, rather than you're being a critic, do you have any other specific indication of that this is specifically linked? I got to be able to finish my sentence, Pat. I'm sorry. That this is linked to that. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
In other words, what other indication do you have that's specific that this is linked to you and to John?
Well, when we're there, this happens. I talk to people when we're not downtown, and it doesn't happen.
So on other Tuesdays, this doesn't happen?
Right. And these weird things don't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I can't go up to the person and say, did the city? There was only one guy that pointed at the city logo on the truck when mm-hmm. it was the guy dumping it. Like Rubio in the middle of the street, mm-hmm. he said, it's them, and he pointed at the logo, couldn't speak English, but he made it clear that it was the city told him to do it, and he felt really bad and upset, and he never came back after.
That's what he said, he felt bad?
Yeah, you could tell that he was like, I'm sorry, it's them.
And when was this?
This was back when we were with Cruzeo and being, stopped by Brent. Wasn't that about a year ago, John? I think it was about a year ago.
Okay. Anything else? In the past, Pat, you've been a very outspoken defender of the rights of others, whether it's picking up property at the police station or advising folks around disability rights. Anything else you want to report about things that have happened recently you think would be important for us to know about around those issues?
I have one circumstance that just came up. Somebody is in the Reveille, and they have an emotional assistance cat for their children that have been traumatized by something.
And this is the Reveille Family Shelter?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Family.
Go ahead.
So they've been there with that cat. And anytime, this is really important for people to know, anytime that you spend more than 30 days at that shelter, you get protection under the Fair Housing Law. So this person was being told that they only allow service dogs, but that's not true. You can't just say service dogs. Emotional assistants or companion animals, if you have a doctor's letter, they're allowed too. So they were trying to tell this person that they either had to leave or they had to get rid of this cat, and it was just a cat, yada, yada, yada. So I tried to get the homeless union involved. I tried other people because I knew that if they just got the right statement, it would solve the problem. So in the end, I ended up telling her about the ADA. And I told her, John told me to have her say that it's a federal violation, or I'm federally protected under the Fair Housing Laws. And so she did stand up to Diana at the Homeless Service Center, Reveille, and within 10 minutes, they caved in and said, you get to keep.
You may be Pat, you may be familiar with the fact that at the city council tomorrow, there is the second reading of a law that changes service dog to service animal, presumably and hopefully to increase more broadly local protection. But what is the, in your view, the extent of local protection? Do you find there's a lot of violations? Do you find that people are who are like restaurants, whether or places where people live, are falling in line with an appreciation of the need to have the right to respect the service animal disability reality? Or is it a matter of having to fight each case, or is it a mixed bag?
Having to fight each case.
So,
because what you have to make sure is never fill out a pet agreement, because it's not a pet. Mm-hmm. They'll try to get you on that. So you never call it a pet. It's always what it is. And federal law trumps any local law. So if they try to, because I can't imagine that they're doing service animal to help people, because they don't really care about homeless people. In fact, I hear people say, oh, they're all faking it. And I know that somebody had a problem with it at Taco Lot.
At where?
Their service animal that they had been taking in there for years.
At where are we talking about?
Taco Lot.
Next to the bookshop, Coonerty, yeah.
Yeah. I do know that there is one place that's very dog-friendly, and it's called Limelight Cafe. In fact, he has a menu for the dogs. He always has water dishes out. So he's very dog-friendly. He's smart.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if I got anything else for you here. The disability situation is also such that, as I understand it, ADA law says that you don't have to present even documented papers. You just have to state that you do have a service animal. You don't even have to state the actual disability you have. Or do you have to state the purpose of your animal is specifically, or do you just have to state that it is a...
Well, from my understanding, you just have to, when you're going for it somewhere, you just have to say what service it does for you.
Now,
Now,
since Pat mentioned that it is, a kind of a tooth and claw activity, so to speak, to actually get people to respect this, have you found that asserting a federal ADA by other people has been successful in actually stopping immediate harassment, or is it carried further by police or civil authorities? And if so, what's the general outcome? How do people successfully resolve this, or are they very successful?
Usually we find if they know it came from us, then they back down, because they know that John knows, and they know that we know where to file.
So in the last month, how many cases have come to you with this problem?
This is the only one, because we're kind of burned out and we're just trying to survive ourselves.
I gotcha.
But it came to my attention because somebody asked for help on Facebook. Somebody else asked for help on something else. And so, we can't get really deeply involved in anything, but if we could tell up a phrase or a law to point to and quote,
mm-hmm.
then we do that. One thing I'll let you know is...
Go ahead.
Famous Measure M slumlord Darius, he's been stalking us. He's trying to get us to rent one of his units. On the other hand, he's claiming that we're the people that are doing all the false stuff with the recall on Indy Bay and Take That, that we're writing all those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are critics, and he's offering you lodging for a reasonable rent. Could this be the Darius I know?
Section 8. Oh, yeah. I want to live in a place where the stairs and everything are ready to fall down and kill somebody. I already lived in a place like that. I'm not going back to it. I want a landlord that just takes the rent, fixes what needs to be fixed, and stays out of my business.
Well, I want to thank you for giving us the update, Pat, and feel free to call again if you've got more thoughts, and I'll be playing this.
Yeah, I'll try to send you some stuff.
Likely on Thursday. So
I've forwarded things that we're working, trying to get the records on the bathroom requirements from the mm-hmm. state.
If you decide you want to put out some kind of disability pamphlet, send me the text, and I'll see if I can work on it, though I'm burning out a bit myself.
Yeah, I get it. When I get more stable housing than living in a van.
Well, I won't be expecting that anytime soon. I won't be expecting that anytime soon, given the costs in Santa Cruz. But I hope you continue to successfully, you know, fend off the problems.
You know, we really want to get justice for people, but at this point, we can just get their problems fixed.
Well,
one by one.
Hey, thank you, Pat. I'm gonna leave it there and call me again if you want.
Okay, I gotta go. My phone's dying.
You take care and thank you. Bye bye.
Okay, bye.
And that was Pat Colby, who's lives in her vehicle and is on the west side these days, keeping an eye on things. Probably not too far from the California Homeless Union's Alicia Cool and Angel, another activist with California Homeless Union.